23. Then. Now we wait, Locke said, in the great crystalline control room, in the depths of the Archvoyant's palace on Heaven's Spire. Princess Veiled Lightning was there, kneeling over the body of Gentle Thunder. She had just defeated Arika Yorichi and sent the axe plunging down through the chasm.
Concomniante, Osiphoris, Gilspower said quietly.
You saved us. Locke rested her weight on the console, staying carefully away from the damned red crystal that Gilspower had wanted her to press. So you care, but you would have let Arika Yorichi destroy most of the Republic and the Empire.
That's in law with this.
Gilspower's voice was not happy, but it wasn't weak either. What's that supposed to mean? Locke looked over at him. That's not the one you use when you smash things. It means, Veiled Lightning said, from where she knelt by the body of her mentor, that whatever little acts of mercy he might show, he is sworn to defend his people.
As in love with this, Gilspower said again, with a note of sadness.
That's garbage, Locke snapped. Your people are wrong. A good soldier doesn't just follow orders and feel bad about it when his people are wrong. He takes a stand.
Kutisoshka Jairis?
Gilspower asked. I'm not asking you to attack them. Locke pressed a hand to her face and sighed. I don't know what I'm asking. But damn it, Gil, you are better than this. They are wrong, and you know it. There was a moment of silence. Heaven's Spire rattled and shook as whatever the ancients had done powered up.
Concomniante, Osiphoris,
Gilspower said. Saving both sides, Locke asked. How?
Less in love with this.
By protecting your... No, Veiled Lightning said. By serving them, not fighting them, and giving you a chance. You don't need another warrior, and with his limited vocabulary, he is hardly useful to you as a spy.
Less in love with this,
Gilspower agreed. You need someone who will push the ancients away from the most violent solution, who will urge a gentle rulership instead of the complete destruction of both our countries. Veiled Lightning smiled. Someone who will urge that you be taken alive.
Or we could just kill him, Locke said, as Heaven's Spire rattled again, and have one less enemy to worry about.
Kutisoshka Jairis,
Gilspower said in a very old voice.
Concomniante, Osiphoris.
I'm not sure I understand, Veiled Lightning said. I destroy the enemy, but then nobody will die while I watch. Locke looked at him, the warhammer on the floor, shiny and silver, and inset with rubies and runes. She sighed. Fight the enemy, not their people. Now, who are you? Who are you? You are confused. We feel it. You do not know. No. You know, but do not want. It is the outside. It mixes and changes and makes you different. But you are you. You say you are different now. There is no now. No then. Be you. Be you. Be you. Up in the sky, the glimmering folk growled and snarled with sounds that made Locke's mind ache, as though she were thinking things her head hadn't been built for. Given that Princess Veiled Lightning, Lesegoris and Arika Yorichi were trying to kill her here on the ground, however, it was something she planned to worry about later. Lesegoris had tossed Arika Yorichi to the golem that had once held Gilspower, leaving Locke and Gilspower outnumbered 3-1. Up on the podium, the demon Jell roared as beams of crimson energy slashed into her, but she fought on with savage fury regardless. Locke parried a blow from Veiled Lightning, who held the 9-ringed dragon, her family's ancestral blade, then spun away from a slash by Arika Yorichi, and then let Gilspower twist in her grip to block a blast of crimson energy as Lesegoris fired at them.
Kutisoshka Jairis,
Gilspower shouted.
You're a fool and a traitor, Arika Yorichi snarled, and you can never take me in a true fight.
Gilspower flashed through the air and smashed through the golem's torso, blasting the thing into dozens of crystalline pieces and sending Arika Yorichi toppling to the grassy turf. This left Locke weaponless, but as Veiled Lightning lunged in, Locke sidestepped, took a shallow cut across the forearm in exchange for getting hold of Veiled Lightning's arm, punched Veiled Lightning across the jaw, chopped down on her wrist, and stripped the 9-ringed dragon from her grip.
The real Veiled Lightning wouldn't have lost her blade again, Locke said, grinning, as she slashed at Lesagoras and forced him back. Then Lesagoras held out his hand, and with a flash of light, Arica Eurici was there, in his grip. They lunged in, a magical sword wielded by a magical man, and Locke barely turned the blade as it slid past her. Veiled Lightning was on her flank. A kick caught leg, and as Locke stumbled, another kick slammed her to the turf. She rolled, got the blade up in time to block Arica Eurici as Lesagoras came in again, and then stumbled back as Veiled Lightning slammed another kick into her side. Then, from nowhere, an armored Imperial woman tackled Veiled Lightning.
General Jade Blossom, the Imperial woman shouted, punching Veiled Lightning several times in the head. The princess ordered me to hit whomever you were fighting.
Kind of her. Locke parried another stab and risked a look to see where the hell Gil's power was. She saw him pressed under the heel of Archvoyant Savart, who was blasting the hammer over and over again with flashes of crimson energy.
It's the Paladin Band, she yelled to Jade Blossom. Break it, and she's free.
She made for Savart, but Lesagoras was too fast, cutting between them and lunging in again with Arica Eurici. Locke blocked, took a kick to the ankle, parried, but took a cut across the upper arm anyway, and saw an elbow coming in, but couldn't get the nine-ringed dragon up to block it. She hit the ground hard, lights dazzling her eyes, and in the distance saw the glimmering folk sliding down the font, moving for the gate, just as Tern and Hessler had hoped. It was enough. The ancients would have to flee. Locke's job was done. Locke spat blood and rolled to her knees, the nine-ringed dragon held in a weak guard. Then, in the distance past Lesagoras, Naria flickered into view and slid a knife across Savert's hamstring. The Archvoyant yelled and fell. Arica Eurici came down, and Locke came up to block, and again light flashed, and Locke caught the blow with Gil's power, who was free and back in her grasp, and then slashed out with a nine-ringed dragon in her other hand and caught Lesagoras across the leg.
Locke! Came the yell, and Locke stood slashing and swinging and saw Veiled Lightning and General Jade Blossom standing again,
the Paladin Band a shattered pile of junk at their feet.
You stole my sword again!
Borrowed! Locke yelled and tossed it to the princess. Locke swung Gil's power and Arica Eurici caught the blow. Lesagoras went for the kick, but Locke saw it coming, checked it, and came over the top with a punch that rocked him back. He staggered away, bleeding and livid, and slammed a finger onto his paladin band.
Full release, he shouted. We'll burn it from the other side.
Every paladin on the field turned at once and began to run. Savert was hobbling, his injured leg dragging. Naria de Lockenville lay on the ground behind him. Locke was there within seconds, and had only to look to see that it was too late. Savert had gotten Naria's knife, and then Naria had gotten it back right below the neckline of her pretty gown.
I should have run, she whispered. Wanted to help you up this time.
You did, Locke said, and then Naria relaxed and went still.
Kutisoshka Jaris, Gil's power said sadly.
Yes, she did.
Locke! Veiled Lightning yelled, and Locke looked over. The dragon!
The paladins were running for the font, all of them, including the ones who had lashed Mr. Dragon down. He was up again now, and with a great roar he sent flames slashing their way. Kael dragged himself up the last rung of the ladder, pushed himself inelegantly over the top and outside, and saw all hell breaking loose. The glimmering folk were heading down into the font. A lot of nobles were running their way, and Mr. Skinner was battering icy against the golden wall of the font with blast after blast of crimson energy.
No, no, this gets arrogance, they have to be taught, Skinner said,
and slammed icy against the wall again with a blast that cracked like a whip. Icy groaned. His bare torso was a mass of welts and bruises. Still, he got to his feet.
You will not shut down the puppeteers,
Skinner snared.
I'll put a stop to their babbling, and yours.
He flung another blast at Icy, who dove to the side, but still took a glancing blow. Kael pushed himself to his feet with his one good arm, and edged slowly towards Skinner, hoping that the man was paying so much attention to Icy that he would miss his approach. Skinner looked over almost immediately, and with a smile, flicked a surge of power at Kael. It wasn't much, but it didn't need to be. It jolted the broken arm and slammed Kale to the ground with a white-hot flash of agony.
"Thought you'd come creeping in like a cat?" Skinner asked.
Kale groaned and rolled onto his back.
"What did you say?" "Must have been dawdling like a duckling trying to climb that ladder with one arm," Skinner snared.
Then he blinked.
"Excellent eggshells! Fondling fern! Gullible goat!"
he shouted in sudden confusion, and dropped to his knees. The grassy turf sprouted a field of flowers that blossomed with enormous rainbow-hued petals, and from each of the unfolding petals a little creature came, something between a fox and a cat and a person, a few feet tall and flickering with pale blue light. The kobolds from the mine. And among them, rising from the earth, her horns shining in all the colours of the rainbow, and her flanks pure and white again, was Ululenia.
"That is who I am," Ululenia said, and her gentle voice shook the ground. "I am too often arrogant, and I babble along with the sounds of the forest. I creep through this world, and I dawdle aimlessly, because I was told that I was just stolen magic, my life of theft from the ancients."
The kobolds chittered and clustered around Ululenia, their hands on her legs and flanks.
"That's right," Skinner said, shaking his head and fighting to get the words out. "You came from our magic."
"Yes, I was, imperfect as it was. I was corrupted, but the kobolds healed me. They could do that because your magic came from them," Ululenia said, and her horn flared with a brilliance that made Skinner hide his eyes. "Before there were artifacts, there were magical crystals, and inside those crystals the kobolds lived."
She stepped forward, the grass parting gently beneath her hooves.
"Peaceful, harmless, innocent, until you tore them from the earth and turned their lives into tools."
"Beasts," Skinner sneered at her. "They did nothing with their potential. They did not even stand against us. It was our right."
"They did not fight back," Ululenia said. "And so you decided it was your right. But you could not kill all of their essence. And when you left, some of it escaped and pulled itself together and tried to become alive again. The fairy creatures. All our lives, we have believed we were but stolen magic, and we were. But you were the thieves, not us."
Skinner fought back to his feet and raised his arm.
"You are monsters."
As Skinner fired, Ululenia's horn flared, and when the light faded, Kale saw that she and all the kobolds stood unharmed. The air around Ululenia shimmered, and she stood before Skinner as a woman, her horn still shining. The ground around Skinner opened up.
"I am a nice unicorn," Ululenia said, "and a pretty unicorn, and the people you hurt are going to fight back."
The kobolds surged forward, and Skinner had time for one last shout, and then they were on him, sinking down into the earth. And a moment later the ground closed back up, the grass clean and pristine, as though it had never been broken. Ululenia turned to Icy and Kale.
"What have I missed?"
"Oh, you know."
Kale waved with his less bad arm.
"The usual. Icy, fill her in."
He crawled back to the doorway, pulled himself onto the ladder, and slid back down.
"I think we're clear," he called to the puppeteers.
One of them met his gaze and nodded. Then he spoke in the dragon puppet's voice.
"Remember, everyone, it's your republic."
"Stay informed,"
Kale murmured, and let himself ease off into the comfortable darkness. Overhead, the last of the glimmering folk disappeared down into the font, their great forms tightening to fit into the tunnel like a spilled inkwell, somehow reversed. The paladins still ran for the font as well, dozens of the wealthiest citizens in the Republic all pelting across the grassy turf. In front of Locke, however, the great snarling form of Mr. Dragon occupied most of her attention. "All right," she said, holding Gilspower ready. "He's ordered to come after me. The rest of you run. The ancients will be gone soon, and this will be over."
"Kudasaj Kajaris!"
Gilspower yelled. "We're not killing him. He's under their control."
"No."
Veiled Lightning readied her blade, and beside her, General Jade Blossom had drawn a sturdy broadsword.
"It's not that. I can remember bits of when the Paladin Band had me.
The Segura said that he would burn it from the other side.
Mr. Dragon roared, and fire flared out at them. Locke dove away, and Gil's power jerked in her hand, swatting at the flames with his own magic and driving them aside. She landed and rolled back to her feet, her leather coat smoking, but the rest of her unburned.
"What does it mean?" Locke yelled. "One last magical signal," Veiled Lightning called back. "A self-destruct order to bring Heavenspire crashing down on top of us. The explosion will..."
"Got it. Go!" Locke waved Gil's power at Mr. Dragon. "I'll draw him away. You stop Lesagoras."
"No!"
Locke turned to see what was left of Jell. The paladins had torn her rocky body apart, and she was only vaguely humanoid now. The shattered parts weren't healing either. They were dead and dark from the blasts of the paladin bands. Jell pounded past Locke.
"Stop them, Captain!"
With the last of her strength, the demon threw herself at Mr. Dragon. Locke ran. Tern looked at the crystal lattice, checked the readings and colours. Then she looked again, because her eyes and her brain weren't working right, and everything she saw seemed to fall away a moment later.
"The gates closed up at Heavenspire," she said.
"I know," said Hersler. He hung in the air, his body a muscular silhouette, enshrouded in a glowing rainbow of magic. Tern looked at him. The glow made a little glare across the lenses of her spectacles, and she pulled them off.
"The gate's closed, and you're still here. You're not just an illusion."
"I am," Hersler said, unmoving in the air.
"No."
Tern blinked away tears, felt them slide down her cheeks, but didn't take her eyes off the shape hovering in front of her.
"No, if you were an illusion, closing the gate would have cut you off."
"I am an illusion of myself, Tern," Hersler said gently. "The troll transformed the matter of my body into the energy from which illusions are created, the matter of the Shadowlands. I was able to hold myself together the way I maintain a glamour."
"And you did." Tern took a step forward. "You held yourself together, and you came back. You came back to me."
"To say goodbye," Hersler said. Tern swallowed.
"No."
"I watched from the other side," Hersler said. "I saw that you needed me. I saw Derry in pain. I helped bring him back, and I came back to help you. But I cannot stay."
"You can."
Tern took another step toward him. She couldn't see his face. He was still just a silhouette, backlit by way too many rainbows.